Hello, everyone. Welcome back to All Whack Podcast. I am here with St. John and Dave Morgan at the Dugout. And today we are going to talk about St. John's music. So, first off, do you have any shows coming up?
Or? Yes, very much so. So, every year in Kitsap County, every first Wednesday at the Dugout for happy hour, starting at 5:30. July 12th, I'm over at Everybody's. And on June 21st, I'm at Our Place. And June 23rd, I'm at Deep Draft Brewing.
Wonderful. So yeah. I know Dugout, obviously, is in Bremerton, and Everybody's is in Port Orchard. So where's Our Place? I haven't heard of that.
Silverdale?
Okay,
yeah. Perfect. So getting around Kitsap County.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So how would you describe your music?
Really good.
Really good.
Yeah. But that's you know, shameless. You know, I like to write in a lot of different styles.
Mm-hmm.
So a bit of it's bluesy, a lot of it's catchy, some of it's romantic, some of it's apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a range.
Yeah. How long have you been doing music? Like, how did you get started in that?
Full time, I've been a musician for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So haven't had another job for quite a while now. But I started playing guitar in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Late. Yeah.
Yeah, and had you had interest in it before? And
loved it. Yeah. I had been maniacal about music ever since I was 3 or so. My mother said she couldn't keep me away from it. Like, I would go and get her tapes or her records or whatever, and I just listen to them over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Did you have anyone in particular that was your favorite?
Well, yeah, she had all these old, you know, she had all these old records from like the 70s and 80s, you know, 60s and whatever, and they were like Gordon Lightfoot, because I'm Canadian also, and he's great in Canada. And also The Doors.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that Doors greatest hits record. I played that thing over and over and over again. It's actually how I came to get my first ever CD.
Mm-hmm.
Was because I kept playing that over and over. My brother got so mad. He came into the room, ripped the record off the record player. And I went and cried to my, his older brother, I cried to my mother. I said, no! And she said, oh, and so finally, you know, she couldn't console me. So she said, oh, I'll take him to the, you know, to the CD store, and I got my own copy of it. So I could, at that moment, I realized I could own my own music. It was all over from then. I had it. By the time I was 12, I had, I think, over 1,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dang, that's quite the collection.
I was maniacal. Yeah. All my posts on my room, all the walls were covered
mm-hmm.
with posters of bands and musicians I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Beatles. Everything was the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. No, I relate to that heavily.
Oh, yeah? Are you Beatles fan?
From the ages 8 to 13, that's all I listened to was the Beatles.
Yeah.
And that's all, like, the musicians that I studied, like, that was it.
13 to 19,
mm-hmm.
all I listened to was the, half of what I listened to anyway was the Beatles. And, like, Paul McCartney and,
mm-hmm.
like, their solo
and
stuff.
The Wings,
Oh, yeah.
I think George had my favorite solo career.
Oh, he is awesome, too.
Yeah.
Like, I love him, too. Even though I'm a Paul guy, I will never say a bad word about John or George. They're all awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I owned all their stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so.
Oh yeah, that's the way to go. So, would you say the Beatles influenced your music, your own music, how you write and how you did that?
Even going back to what I was initially saying, that I like to write in different styles. One of the things I loved about the Beatles was they write in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they were influenced by so much. To me that was natural. I haven't purposely gone out to write songs that way, I don't think. I just thought that's the way it's, I think that's mm-hmm. the way it's done.
For sure. So who else inspired you to do music or influenced your style?
So many.
You do blues and you do all the,
that
kind of thing.
You know, listen to the Beatles, I found out there was this other guy who played on one of the Beatles songs. His name was Eric Clapton.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what's that all about? So I got to go look into him. And then I found out, well, Eric Clapton, he sounds pretty good, actually. Well, and I got hit all his stuff. And then, well, Eric Clapton keeps on talking about Buddy Guy and B.B. King and Freddie King and all these other great blues artists. I said, oh, I got to know about them now. So eventually I got a job at a CD store. So then...
Naturally.
Yeah. get to the source, almost. And, you know, people use CD store too, so people can come in and, oh, so I'm the guy who's pricing CDs, they come in, oh, this is Buddy Guy? Oh, that one's 99 cents. You know, Celine Dion, $5. Who cares? You know, whatever, $10.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric Clapton, $1. You know, and put them aside for myself to buy later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the way to go. That's definitely the way to go. So, are you working on any projects, or is it just your solo work, and then do you work with other people as well, or just kind of float around?
Yes to all those questions. So, I'm really excited because yesterday I just, literally, I'm so excited because I emailed off the final tracks to my band, my new EP that's coming out. It includes my whole band.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first bunch of songs I've recorded with this band, so I'm very proud of them, and I think we did an excellent job, and I've sent them off to the best mixer in the world, maybe. He mixed, Pearl Jam's 10,
mm-hmm.
the big, he mixed David Bowie, Robert Plant, he's so many great people. And he's, the tracks he's turned in so far sound amazing, so that I just turned in yesterday, and this morning I just finished up the mixing for an acoustic CD. I'm putting out a solo one
mm-hmm.
of just demos that I recorded, you know, solo. And so that'll come out this year too.
Oh,
a
nice.
Full album of that. And I'm also trying to put together a sort of another side project band too.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. So what are your musical goals with all of your projects, whether it's your solo or any other bands or side bands?
I love it when people are singing along.
Mm-hmm.
I want more people to be singing along at my show. So I want to, this new CD I'll be getting a bit of publicity on and radio play. So I'm hoping to turn that extra popularity into bigger shows.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And more money, of course.
Oh, yeah. So, when you were younger, did you anticipate how your musical career would play out, or?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
No. I just knew that I had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Knew that I had to be making music.
Mm-hmm. So, would you say that you would want to continue making music, or say like that didn't pan out? Do you have anything backed up that you would want to do? Because I know a lot of people when they do music, sometimes their solo or band things don't always pan out the way they want.
Right.
So then they are like, well, now I'm going to produce music, or I'm just going to help people do producing for their music or videos or whatever they want to do.
Well, I want to do that as well anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I have helped people songwriting a bit. I do some songwriting tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be helping some people record some of their own solo projects. So mm-hmm. I'll be doing that because I enjoy it anyway.
Right.
Do I have a fallback? No.
No.
Not at all.
It's this music. Is your fallback.
It's music or nothing.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, for
or,
sure.
Or I just go off into the forest and sit.
Yeah.
That's always a good time. Do you have questions?
No?
Okay. Was there anything else that you wanted to discuss? Or?
Well, yeah, tell me. So the musicians you've had on your podcast, the mm-hmm. local musicians, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, have they been having a good time playing the local scene?
Oh yeah, because my friend Darla and my friend Jordan, I asked them too, like if they're early 20s.
Yeah.
So I ask like, how do you think that affects your musical career in a way?
Mm-hmm.
Because they are young females, and so people can perceive that differently. I know female artists have a harder time breaking out, especially solo. And then there's the few that do, like Billie Eilish, but, you know, she has her family connections, and that's how she kind of got into the scene. But then, you know, there's other people. And then I know the people in L.A., a lot of the female artists that come out of L.A., they mm-hmm. have the family connections to do that. So, you know, kind of ask True. How that plays into how they're getting noticed and how their performance goes. And then if people come up after the show, after they're done performing, and if they comment and say, oh, well, I really enjoyed your music, I really connected with it, and they've had some connections with that. And then I've had, you
it
know,
takes a lot of shows.
They got, oh, yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, they got to play a lot. You know, I started, my first professional shows were not, I can't say they're professional, but the first shows I played where I was making money, I was actually busking
mm-hmm.
in the streets of Europe. No amplification. Had my backpack and my guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Hitchhiking all around Europe. If I was going to live, I had to strum and project enough and make sure the songs were catchy and I could get a crowd of people around me.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'd fail.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes a lot of that digging in the weeds sort of work to
to really
get good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to get it going, so to speak, you know, as a musician.
And to know what works with an audience.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the venue, too, can play into that, how you connect with people.
Oh, very much.
Mm-hmm. And the crowd of people that actually come out to
It's so important. I play many venues that are not appropriate, necessarily, for what I envision for my music.
Mm-hmm.
But I will go to where the ears are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not proud about it, you know. I'll go. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to play nicer venues.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and two, playing at the smaller venues, those can easily fill up with people, too, and,
mm-hmm.
and you can reach more people that way.
Yeah.
You always reach a new fan at any show anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've seen...
By the way, this is Dave Morgan now speaking. Welcome, Dave Morgan, to the conversation.
So I've literally been to more of St. John's live shows than probably any other local, hands down. But the reality is St. John can play any room, and
mm-hmm.
Whatever room he goes to, he plays the room. So, you know, I'll notice that from one show to the next, it can vary just from the audience that's in the room. Like, he reads the room, figures out who's there and what they need, and that's what he plays.
Definitely.
And so I think that's one of the reasons why when asking venues to book him, I don't have any question. He can play any room.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
For the folks in the podcasting audience, I just made fisticuff motions with my hands that you could not see.
but know that they were well received.
what venues do you guys like going to around town? Shows?
I like to go personally to the Charleston because I just think it has a lot of character.
Yeah,
and,
very much so.
And I do the Rocky Horror Picture Show. We used to do that at the Dragonfly, and so
fun,
I think that'd be fun to do at the Charleston.
Oh, probably be more ruckus, right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
I think that would be a good time. But I haven't been to a lot of venues around here. I go to once in Seattle sometimes because I know Astor House and so I go, hey, like, when are your shows? And and
good.
So
Astor House,
I do, they're pretty
good. Cool. They're fun.
Yeah.
They're really fun guys.
Nice.
Also the Minette Saloon.
That's
a local favorite.
Yeah.
Of mine.
That's a good one.
I played the Charleston a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a showcase night where I think it was two or three other artists.
No, we had a bunch. It was kind of like a mini acoustic.
It was a few, and there was one other artist, and I was up there playing one of my songs, and it was a quieter song, and everybody was, oh, it's nice, quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's up, and then one of the other artists is a bit drunk, and he's with his friends, and he goes up and he starts playing foosball.
Drinking acoustic, it just doesn't mix.
No.
And I was like, da-da-da, and it was starting to annoy the people that were around him, and I stopped and said, hey, dude, what are you you want to come up here and say something, you know, you're trying to get some more attention? And he jumps down from where the foosball table is.
Yeah.
He jumps up on the stage. And I put my guitar down in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a swing at me. And I block his punch and I get out of the way and I wrap him up. And I'm just like holding on to him. And he's flopping around all over the stage while I'm not letting him go. And he's really trying to hurt me. I was like, come on.
Yeah.
This is a... And his friends finally peel him away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's the Charleston.
It's always interesting there. There's something always could happen there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of the fun.
Yeah.
No, it's not a punk show.
No.
Right.
It's a nice romantic singer-songwriter type of deal.
No food is there.
So since we're talking about venues,
mm-hmm.
I'll give my little cheap plug and then...
Yeah.
Then I'll explain why it kind of ties to the venue thing. So we're sitting here at the Dugout recording, and here in an hour and a half, we're going to fire up the industry day where I'm going to have about 21 musicians out and a whole bunch of venues, probably 15-ish, are supposed to come out and scout talent today as well. So, and then, of course, where that ties back into venues. So I took a couple of years off of doing music and... like the the open mics, I think, are one of my favorite things to do, mostly because I get to meet new musicians, and then I really like to take the newer ones that are needing that stage and really motivate them to keep going, come back. So while I was putting together the industry day and trying to get those venues to come out, you know, I messaged at least 30 venues, and I actually had to drive out to a lot of them so I could put, you know, a face in front of them in the car and explain to them what this thing is. But then that's the moment where I realize how many decent venues there are around here for music. And there really are a lot of venues. And so
I keep discovering new ones, like, constantly.
I still am, too.
Yeah.
I mean, even after messaging 30 venues, you know, you can just drive through town and be like,
what's that?
Yeah. So, and there really are. I mean, the dugout here, I mean, I don't think there was really much in the way of music going on when I got in here to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, you know, there's a rotating artist on Wednesdays. Thursdays are open mic. Every Friday is music. And then I think currently they have their karaoke challenge going on Saturdays. So this is definitely, this place is picking up. And they did a really nice job on this place.
It did.
Really nice. And, of course, there's still the upstairs that they're working on getting done. I think once that opens, I mean, that could be an opportunity to do big shows, you know. And, of course, we have Brother Don's right next door. And, you know, they do a lot of great stuff over there. Jeff Tassin does a good open mic. And, you know, they're just known for music. You know, Manette.
Yeah.
The Manette is well known for music.
But I like that music is going into places now, like the Dugout and the breweries around town.
Yeah. Like Slippery Pig and Paul's Bow.
Right.
I like that one, too.
Yeah, very much so. You played there a few years ago. They're really cool over there. I think that it's... I want people to be going out at night or in the afternoon or weekends rather than staying at home by themselves on Netflix or Facebook or whatever, you know, pretend socializing. I want them to be really socializing because I think there's so much we really miss when we're not in the same room with each other. There's a bunch of body language, I think, and tone and...
Well, yeah. Oh, and there's a way to do, like, with just with Anchor, what I use for my podcasting, there's a way that we could do that mobily so you don't actually have to be in the room.
Oh, okay.
And that's a great tool when, like, we're super far apart, but would much prefer having face-to-face.
Yeah, me too.
Because then it's like I can kind of play off of everything going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially if you've got, like, a traveling musician that they're not going to make it through town,
oh,
or a Seattle musician that just can't get away from the day job to come over to this side of the pond. Being able to do it remotely is awesome.
Definitely. And just discussing it is really great when, because beforehand, before we started recording, I like to go over kind of what the talking points and kind of do that kind of a thing, and it's kind of hard when they're not there.
I don't know. I don't listen to any podcast except there's one that by a scientist that I like that I'll listen to, and so I don't really know the format very well, but it sounds like it's kind of like just a talk show. I mean, people just talking, so I can usually do that.
It's kind of like I think of it like a virtual AM radio in a way,
right?
It's audio and talking
on demand virtual.
And you can kind of pick and choose what you listen to. You don't have to, it's well, a lot of podcasts, they don't have like a series where you have to listen to every episode
to kind of
understand. But I know there are some that do that. There's a podcast and they talk about Stephen King books and how they're all connected. And I haven't really read Stephen King. I think I've read a couple of them. So I don't know it well enough to really get into that one. But I know that it's out there, and I think that's really cool that the way people use podcasts.
Yeah, especially like diehard fans, like niche fans or something. That, you know, they would never be able to get together and pool knowledge about something because there's just not that big of a demand for it. Otherwise, if they relied on some other media outlet to do it for them, but because you can do it at home and they can connect with each other through Reddit or wherever.
Threads.
Definitely. Well, and when I started my podcast, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with it. I kind of was like, it was a way for me to just talk about what was on my mind and just
so
things.
What's on your mind?
A lot. Yeah. A lot is on my mind.
What's bubbling right at the top? What's like
right at the top is this conversation.
Yeah.
But when I started my podcast, I was like, I don't really know what I want to do. I'm kind of just winging it. And then I think my first guest was my friend Jordan, and we talked about her music a little bit. And then I think we had a topic that day where we kind of discussed a specific thing, but mm-hmm. we did mostly talk about her music and what she wanted to do. And then I was like, I actually kind of like this. I like talking to people about what they want to do in their music, because I really enjoy music. And then and I really enjoy listening to KEXP, because mm-hmm. they have all the people on, and watching them on YouTube, and they have like their little series when they have the live sessions.
I love the live sessions mm-hmm. on KEXP.
And then we were in Seattle a couple weekends ago, and we went
Memorial
to KEXP
Day.
And
isn't
they
that
had
studio cool.
Yeah, it's I had been there a few times, but they had an actual live performer that day, and I was like, oh, I've never been here when
that's
the
so
gathering
cool.
space is packed out. It was really packed out. Mm-hmm. And so that was a good time.
Bar in there and the mm-hmm. cafe. That's brilliant.
Yeah, and you can pull your own shots.
That might
they
be
have
the
that thing
best
in the back.
Radio in the world.
They got some good going there.
They really do.
Sure.
I often listen to. I stream a radio station that plays out of LA most days. I really like the songs they play.
Mm-hmm.
But KEXP, man, they are just that station is something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've got it going right there. So I highly support them. They're a great cause, especially for local music, because I know they have some Seattle bands go there too, and they have
the Loud and Local.
Loud and Local thing, yeah.
Now tell me who is anybody doing like any shortwave or any like local radio that you guys know of?
Not that I know of. The closest thing that I can think of is this, the podcast. I don't hear a lot, and I've gone to Xander's mixer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know who Xander Gray is. But I've gone to his little mixers that he has, and I've met artists there, and they go, I don't hear anyone doing this in this area. And I go, well, this is not even what I intended, and this is just what's happening.
Yeah.
So
I used to do one a couple years ago, and we'd have like four or five of us, and we'd sit down and just kind of joke around for like an hour, and then in the middle of that we would talk about the previous weekend shows and what happened, and then the next week shows and what was coming up, and then we tried to cut in some music and in between the little segments, and so that was kind of fun. But
yeah, I'm going to be on a lot of podcasts coming up, so thank you very much for letting me practice. And if you have any tips or tricks, like tell me how I should improve. I take notes well.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think you're doing pretty well, because you're
just be
active.
You.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Definitely be yourself. Because I know with a couple people that I've recorded with, they're like, I'm so nervous. And I go, it's just a conversation, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a microphone is a lot less intimidating than a camera.
I agree.
Very much.
When the camera's on you, you're like, what do I do? But when it's a microphone, it's just like, it can't see you. It can only hear you.
Talking. I mean, that camera, you're like, they caught that eye roll. Dang it.
Yeah, they caught my...
I've done a few radio shows, community and local other radio shows, and I like them, but I remember the first time I did one of those, the FCC has laws. You can't swear on the radio.
You can swear on my podcast.
Oh,
I marked
boy.
It.
Yeah,
I marked
yeah.
it for that.
Nice. And I accidentally swore the first time I was on the radio, and they didn't. I have this way of talking to them. Somehow, when I swear, sometimes people just don't take it as dirty or whatever, like vulgar. And nobody noticed in the whole room that I swore, except the engineer. Like one of the engineers in the room, he looked up and he was like, and nobody noticed it. And so we just both laughed. And yeah.
Oh,
that's
man, if
awesome.
There was no swearing on podcasts, mine never would have been aired ever anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember, because I've talked to a few people about being on the podcast. They go, what if I swear? And I go, then I mark it that it's explicit, and then we move on. And, I think my whole podcast, though, because it's the entirety of it is just marked explicit. And it's not like... That's what it is, but I just the warning
you,
is out
been
there.
Warned.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know. Cause
I perform a lot of shows that have family audiences or whatever, and I you know, unless the, unless I know all the families and they're totally cool because they're swearing at their kids all the time themselves.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good now at filtering.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That, I think that's always a great skill to have, because I know some people don't filter and they just are talking and you're like, okay, this is kind of excessive.
Yeah.
Almost swearing. And it's like, I'm an adult and I'm still like, why are you doing this?
It's almost too much. It's almost, it's more for effect or like a,
or a persona to kind of be
right.
like that.
Yes.
And it's like, but if you're yourself, then you know, that's so much better. So I encourage you for future podcasts, definitely just be yourself.
Okay.
And whatever slips out, you know,
all right.
That's okay. Kind of how I see it, you know, definitely.
Do my best.
Yes, my definitely. Best.
So, of course, I got to get some sound gear set up for this afternoon.
Definitely.
So I know we can't hang out too terribly long, mm-hmm. but I guess before we shut down, I'll plug the upcoming show of mine that I'm really, really excited for. So
mm-hmm.
I just did a commercial ad that we'll be releasing this upcoming week, which I don't normally do the in front of the camera thing, and I don't usually do the on mic, like the podcast thing I've figured out, because it's fine, we record this and like people don't see me later, but like live and up there.
You did really well though, it looked good.
Yeah, I don't normally, so but it turned out good, so the commercial is looking good. And on June 23rd, Out of the World of Beer in Silverdale, which is connected to the Kitsap Mall, I'll be doing a Sunday 3-6 open mic.
Oh, nice.
So I'm definitely looking forward to that one. And that one is really nice because it's a nice big room. I've got my new big PA system that I'm going to take out for that one. And it's going to be set up in the all ages area, which I think is fantastic because it really takes away that, well, what if they're, you know, under 21 and they still want to perform? And, you know, the RCW state, you know, some bars still won't even let him on stage, so
mm-hmm.
I think this one's gonna be cool.
It kind of takes away the exclusivity of it.
Yeah.
What day did you say it was at the World of Beer?
June 23rd, Sunday, and then it'll be every Sunday 3-6.
Right on.
So if you're a musician in Kitsap, get on down to the World of Beer and get off your Facebook. Yeah.
But then get on Facebook to check in at the location.
Right, and share with your friends. Oh, and to go on to Spotify and listen to St. John and the Revelations.
Yeah. So I think one thing about shows, and especially open mics, that I think everyone should take into consideration. You know, when you go to a show, you're there for the music. Like, you know, there's a good possibility that when the music's playing, you're going to be sitting down listening to the music. Open mics don't tend to always go that way because you have different musicians and new musicians, and so a lot of people will tend to not have their focus on the stage where it should be. So my advice for not only the audience out there that goes to an open mic, but also for the musicians that are going to the open mic that are especially performing, focus. Put the phone down. We're talking about 3 hours, generally speaking, and you're not networking if you're not listening to another musician. So I'm there to seek out all new talent, and I'm hoping that those that are coming out are looking at booking shows with other musicians, especially when you can get out there to an open mic and find somebody that's the same style. You know, mm-hmm. It's really, it's a great time to book a show.
Yeah, we found Jordan and Kristen through other open mics, and mm-hmm. now they're playing here at the Dugout on the other
mm-hmm.
Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do we got? Jordan,
and
Kristen.
Megan. Yeah, and Jordan and Kristen for sure. Anyway,
and Megan and Heidi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bam.
They're a good
perfect.
Time. Yeah.
So we know it works. Yeah, it's happening right here. Great. Yeah.
But that would be my advice. Just when you're at a show, whether it's a show, and at home. Honestly, I don't care if you paid to get through the door if it was free. I mean, if there's music there when it's on, put your phone down and pay attention because you might miss something. So,
you're here.
Definitely. Well, we're going to hear you perform a little bit later, right?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, I will definitely record that for this
very
podcast.
Cool. All
we'll
right.
get that going. So, next time you hear us, we will be listening to St. John.
Super.
Yes. My name is St. John. I will be your singer-songwriter for the next 2 songs. And then your ears and souls are going to be delighted. Amazing. It's going to be good. We're our little favorites. Make sure the sounds are sometimes we go back in time to around 1968 or so. Except the guitars.
Thought I was doomed to my health, but you're smiling too much. like I was a star.